So I want to tell you about a pastor who was greeting people after church one Sunday. It wasn't me. It was a man. And a woman came up to him after this and said how nice the sermon was. And he said, "I have to give all the credit to the Holy Spirit." To which she replied, "It wasn't that good." Now I tell you that joke today because we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but also because I want to tell you that my spiritual gift is, of course, puns. You thought I was going to say preaching, huh? Puns. Now I know some of you might disagree, because sometimes I make you groan, but I'm not going to do that today. That's it. That's all I got. Well, we are talking about spiritual gifts, and Paul tells us that spiritual gifts are the manifestation of God's work in our lives. They're some of the ways that we see the difference that Jesus is making in our lives. We are able to do more and be better because of Jesus working in us. And our scripture readings for today, they both talk about spiritual gifts, a whole bunch of different ones. I'm going to name them off just real quick so we remember. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, healing, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those were all in Corinthians. And then in Isaiah, we saw understanding and counsel and might added to that. In Romans, more spiritual gifts. Serving, leading, encouraging, giving, mercy. And then these, we don't call them gifts, we call them fruits, but they're still gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control in Galatians. All of these are evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in us. A lot of ways that we can show the Spirit's work, but I'm going to focus on just one today. One that helps us with all the rest of them. We're going to talk about the others tonight in our small groups and tomorrow night. And if you've never been to a small group here or anywhere else, it doesn't matter. You can still come tonight at 6:30 here in the church or tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Tammy and Steve Hossman's house. We'd love to have you. Or get together with your groups wherever you are used to meeting and talk about spiritual gifts. We read this morning from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. He wrote them to help them with problems that they were having. You know, we tend to think that divisions in the church are a new thing that came around in the modern era when we've had all these church splits. Well, we've made them formal, but they were still happening back then. They were still arguing about stuff and disagreeing about stuff all the way back in the first century. And one of the things that Paul was particularly addressing here is that they were arguing over spirituality. Who's more spiritual? Who's got more Jesus? Which of the manifestations of the Spirit is more important? And I like how Paul just cuts right to the chase and says, the Holy Spirit is present wherever anyone says that Jesus is Lord. Bottom line, that's what matters. And Paul also points out that all of the gifts of the Spirit, the ones that you see a lot, the ones that are in the background, all of them are given to build up the church. And a lot of times we might say that means we're only supposed to use them in the church. No, we're building up the church wherever we are helping people because we are showing God's love to the world. So they are given for building up the kingdom of God in the world. God gives us whatever we need to do what he's calling us to do at a particular time according to his purposes. And that's why our verse to remember this week is 1 Corinthians 12:7. And we're using the Living Bible because I think it makes it abundantly clear. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. That is that small c, not just this church, every church, and the growth of the church in the world. The gifts of the Holy Spirit become visible when we put our faith into action, when we're helping one another out. The Holy Spirit, through faith, helps us discover the rest of the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, as we step out in faith. And so our question that we've been asking each week in the series is, how is Jesus making a difference in my life? And this week, the answer is very simple and straightforward. How? By faith. Excuse me. There are all sorts of gifts, but all of them are necessary and valuable for building up the kingdom, and they all happen through faith. Faith holds them all up. God gives us the faith to believe in Jesus. God gives us the faith to read and understand. understand the words of the Bible, God gives us the faith to do the things that he calls us to do. Faith is what enables us to trust God enough to obey God. Through faith, we have faith. And in Romans, Paul tells us God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Some of us have the gift of faith, a stronger faith at times, a bigger faith that we have so that we can help others who are struggling with their faith. It's a gift of God. And that's why one of the words that Paul uses to describe the gifts of the Spirit is the Greek word charismaton, which literally means the gifts of grace, which is almost redundant. Grace is a gift, and these are the gifts of grace. Faith is a blessing, a gift that we need to steward, just like we steward all the other gifts. We need to take care of it. We can foster it, or we can, and we can help it grow, or we can starve it and let it grow weaker and weaker. We need to acknowledge it. We need to claim it, say it out loud. Jesus is Lord. I believe in God. We need to feed it through prayer, through reading the Bible, through getting together with other people to talk about the Bible. It's been amazing to me in small groups how often somebody will say something to me that answers a question that I've been asking God that they had no idea I was asking. So small groups are an important part of fostering and growing our faith. And we need to use it. When we use our faith, we strengthen it. Sometimes in doing that, we surprise ourselves with its strength. You know, I used to be afraid of talking to people who were outspoken about their dislike of Christianity. I thought that was pretty scary, and so I avoided them. And sometimes I'm shy about talking to people anyway, but I do try to push past it because I do like to meet people, and I especially like to get to know people in a deeper way. But it's hard sometimes to get past that first bit, and especially hard to talk to someone who's outspoken about their dislike of Christianity or their disbelief in God. And really what it came down to is I was afraid that talking to someone who had no faith would make me lose my faith. Well, the more I acknowledged my fear and started to unpack that, the more I realized that my faith was stronger than my fear because God is stronger than my fear. And so I realized that it didn't matter what they said, that faith was deeply rooted in me and it wasn't going anywhere. It might waver, I might question some things from having talked to them, but it wasn't going anywhere. That faith is solid in me, and I realized that the more I did step out and use it in talking to people. You know, many of us go through seasons when we stop going to church or we drift away from the faith. I did that too. And it's a natural thing to happen, actually, because part of growing up is the process of figuring things out for ourselves. And sometimes that scares us, and we think, oh, I've lost it, I'm done with faith forever. It doesn't really have to be that way. It could be that you're just figuring out your faith for yourself. It's like when we're little kids, and we're so hard to stay near our parents because they're kind of our lifeline when we're little kids. And our kids have this thing, we used to call it at our house, the parent proximity meter. If you're ever around little kids, you can watch this in action. They'll kind of wander away, and depending on, some kids have a very strong parent proximity meter, some kids have a very weak one. My kid's parent proximity meter was pretty strong, and they would start to wander away, and then you'd see them all of a sudden, like that meter was going off, and their head's going, ooh, too far, too far, too far, and they come back. And as they get older, they get a little farther, and then you'd see it go off again, and they come back. That parent proximity meter let them go farther and farther as they get older and older until finally they grew up and went out on their own and went to college and moved into their own places and onto their own lives, and that's how it's supposed to be. But we do go through that process of trying that out, and the same thing happens with our faith. We try it out. We find our own way. We have to find God for ourselves and not just through our parents. And I'm talking about this as kind of like an adolescence thing, but really this can happen to us at any age. If we find faith later in life, we will still go through this at some point, where we'll have to kind of work out, this is what everybody's told me, now what do I really believe? And then our faith gets super strong because now we've owned it for ourselves. And even after we've done that, there will be times where we will have what we sometimes call a crisis of where we'll be asking, is God really there? And I think when our faith is dim, this becomes really challenging for us. It can be scary, especially if we're used to having faith and the world is kind of quaking around us when we're asking that question. That's why I really like Hebrews 11:1, which says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That not seen is really important because sometimes the things that we can see make it really hard for us to trust in the things we cannot see. We can see the bills piling up. We can see all the things that need to be done just to make sure we see them. We make lists of them. Or we can see that diagnosis from the doctor when I said them to put it in writing for us. Or the person or the situation that is challenging us, the person that maybe is even in our face, or the bad things that are happening on the news that they keep reminding us of. And all of those things can seem so much more real than God. I've been there. And in one of those times of crisis of faith myself, somebody that I didn't even really know had faith asked me, have you talked to God about that? Make me stop. I didn't know she talked to God. Turns out she did. She just had never told me. But in that moment, God gave her a little boost of faith and the words I needed to encourage my faith, put me back in the right direction. Faith is that spiritual gift that enables us to do all the other things that are demonstrated through all those other spiritual gifts. It's there, even when we aren't sure it's there, because the Holy Spirit is there. God tells us so many times in the Bible, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm holding you by your right hand. God is with us. If your faith is strong, keep it strong by feeding it, helping it to grow, and use it to help encourage others. If you aren't taking care of it, here's the challenge today. Today is the day to start taking care of it. Start taking some time to talk to God, to pray about things, take some time to make a commitment to go to church or maybe to get involved in a small group or to spend some time talking to God every day in a different way. Whatever the next step is for you, commit today to doing it, to take care of your faith. And if you'd like to have us help you with that, write on the yellow card and put that on the offering plate. We'll make sure we do. I should say, will is me. The Lord will be. If your faith is wavering or weak, that's okay. Talk to somebody about it and ask for help. In all of this, just keep watching for ways to help one another. Because God gives us all kinds of gifts as the Holy Spirit works in us, enabling us to do whatever is needed to help build the church, to help build up the people around us. And when we find our gifts, when we put our faith into action, when we step out in faith, and the more we help one another, the more we overcome our divisions and join together in serving God and lifting up the name of Jesus, the more we will see the Holy Spirit work to display the power of God in us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Amazing God, you do so many things that we don't understand, that we don't see. Thank you that you have given us some ways to see your power at work in us and in our lives and in one another, and help us to see those and encourage others in one another. Help us to be encouraging to those around us who are struggling with their faith. Help us to be patient when people don't see things the same way we do. And thank you that you are patient with us and that all of us, you are just there waiting with open, welcoming arms for us to know your amazing love. We thankfully do know through your Son, Jesus Christ.